In your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians chapter 3 in your Scofield Bible, page 1252. And beginning with the 14th verse of the third chapter, we'll read responsively through verse 21. We'll stand as we usually do for the reading of God's Word. The text verse is the 19th verse. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And let's pray. Father, I've been thinking recently what a special honor and privilege it is to be a member of this church. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the unity that we experience here, for the fellowship, for the family spirit. Thank you for this area of service, this great church, which means so much to so many people. Help us on this day. Help us in this hour. We need thee. O Holy Spirit, grant thy presence and power in a special way among thy people and through thy servant, our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me read for you before I pray. One little line I was reading in my Bible reading time from Ephesians the other day, and I crossed a little line I had never noticed before, exactly as I noticed it then. Listen carefully. And to know the love of God, love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You get the paradox? You can't know it, but you're supposed to know it. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I want to speak today on that subject, God's measureless love. Our Heavenly Father, I'd rather preach on this subject than any other subject in the world. If I had my choice, I'd preach every Sunday on this subject. Thank you for your love. May we explore it today, realizing it's not explorable. May we learn it today, realizing it's not understandable. May we study it today, realizing it's not comprehensible. Bless our message and our fellowship in the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. What a paradox. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. What he's saying is, to know what he's commanding us to know what we cannot know. He's commanding us to understand what we cannot understand. He's commanding us to comprehend what is beyond comprehension. Now, how can I know the love of Christ if it's beyond knowledge? How can I obey this command? God has told me to know the love of Christ. Then he goes on to say, you cannot know the love of Christ. How many times have I said lately, God never commands us to do anything that we cannot do? So we have to reconcile this. Reminds me of the passage that says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I used to sit beside my mother in church when I was a little boy, about 25 years ago. Anybody home?
And my mother would be crying. And I'd look up at her and I'd say, "Mother, why are you crying?" She'd say, "'Cause I'm happy." I thought my mom was dumb. She's losing her mind. I'd say, and she'd cry a bit more. I'd say, "Mother, what's wrong?" She'd say, "Nothing's wrong. I'm getting happier all the time." I couldn't understand that. I do now. We can sit here and weep, and yet weep because of joy. The Bible says that sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. It reminds me of the scripture Paul writes to the Corinthian people and says, as being poor, yet making many rich. How can you do that? Haven't got a dime, you make folks rich. And it reminds me of that passage that says, having nothing, it's talking about us. If you get something, I'm going to get it. But anyway, having nothing, yet possessing all things. What a paradox. We don't have anything and possess everything. We're poor, yet spend our lives making many rich. We are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And then it says that we are to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, there's some things I'll never know about the love of Christ, but there's one thing I do know is that He loves me. And that's the if you've heard me say this time and time again, if the one statement that I have made the most were if you voted on the one statement you've heard me make the most, if you've been here for many years, from this pulpit, the one statement I've made is this: God loves you. That's the whole story. Wonderful story of love. Good night. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I don't know any better news than that. And that's the one statement I've made the most in these 34 years nearly I've been your pastor. God loves you. Did you hear me, truck drivers? Yeah. Maybe not. God, I don't always love you, but God always loves you. Did you hear me, folks, in the deaf section? God loves you. I ask you a question. Did you hear me in the deaf section? The other day I was talking to a salesman, talking about Michael Jordan. And he said to me, "What's wrong with gambling?" I said, "There's a lot wrong with gambling." He was trying to convince me that there's nothing wrong with gambling and that everybody does it. I was trying to convince him there are a few of us left that don't do it. He said, "There's not anybody." He said, "Everybody, one time or another, gambles." I said, "You want to bet?" Yeah, I think I lost that argument, but I was trying to bet him I don't bet. But God loves you. Did you see me, deaf people? God loves you. God loves you. Did you hear me, mission men? God loves you. Now, I don't understand His love. It passeth knowledge, but all I have to know is that He loves me. Now, I don't understand first the cause of His love. Why does He love me? I haven't got the foggiest idea. I was talking the other day to a guy, again in the business world. He looked smack dab in my face and seriously said, "Why did your wife marry you?" It's been a tough week for me, folk. He said, "Why did your wife marry you?" John Till Colson said a good question. I don't know why she married me. Yeah, I think it's because I'm cute. But I don't know why God loves me. You can read every book in this Bible and you will not find the reason God loves you. You can read every chapter in this Bible and you'll not find one reason that God loves you. You can read every verse in this Bible and not find one reason that God loves you. You see, God loves holiness, but I'm not holy. But He still loves me. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loves loveliness, but I'm not lovely. But God loves me. You see, God loves love, but I'm not loving. But God loves me. You see, God loves lovableness, but I am not lovable, but God loves me. One day, Augustine was walking one morning down on the beach, and he was trying to figure out the doctrine of the Trinity. And, you know, there's one God, but three members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He was trying to figure out the doctrine of the Trinity, and as he walked by, he saw a little boy digging a hole. The little boy dug a pretty good-sized little hole, and then he went out and got a cup and got some of the water out of the ocean, came, poured it in that hole. He went out and got another cup. He came back and poured it in that hole. And Augustine said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to pour the ocean into this hole right here." He said, "Son, you can't do that." And all of a sudden it dawned on him. He couldn't understand the doctrine of the Trinity either. I don't know why God loves me, but hallelujah, I know God loves me. I don't know why God. I know He loves me. I cannot comprehend His love. It passeth all knowledge. But I know He loves me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful story of love. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And He loves me. And I've got good news for you. I don't know why He loves you, but I know He loves you. We may know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. There's a second thing I do not comprehend and cannot comprehend about His love. And that is, I cannot comprehend the beginning of His love. I do not know when He started loving me. Was it when I knelt and trusted Him as a boy, approaching my 11th birthday, outside the back door of the Fernwood Baptist Church on a little bridge going out to the backyard on a Sunday night just before they had an outdoor service on a Sunday evening, an August evening? Was that when God began loving me? I don't know. Or was it September 25th, 1926, when Willis Athey Hiles and Costal Matty Hiles had a son, over 11 pounds, by the way, and I don't weigh that much now, but 11 pounds. And when a little boy was born in a little town called Italy, Texas, and they named him Jack Fraser Hiles, was that when God started loving me? I don't know. Was it 9 months earlier when I was conceived in the womb of my mother when God began loving me? I don't know. Or was it in the Garden of Eden when the human race was born and God knew that I would someday be born? Is that when God started loving me? I don't know. Or was it when God first prepared the earth as my dwelling place, getting ready for me, and God, before the foundation of the world, planned the earth, and then He laid the foundations, and He prepared the place that I would someday live? Was that when God started? I don't know. Or was it when He conceived the idea of having man? Was it when God said, "I'll make a race for myself. I'll make a race of people to praise me and to love me and exalt me and worship me and honor me"? Was that when God started loving me? I don't know when God started loving me. Was it when the angels fell before there was ever a world? I don't know. Was it before there was ever an angel? I don't know. I don't have to know. I can't comprehend how long He loved me, but praise God, hallelujah, He loves me today. I don't know how long He's loved me. But the Bible says He first loved us. What does that mean? He first loved us. I think it means three things. I think it means we were the first ones He loved. I think it means, secondly, loving us was the first thing He did. I think, thirdly, He loves us more than He loves any other creature that He made. I ask you the question, why does God love you? I don't know. Why does God love me? I don't know. But I do know He loves me. I am to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It passeth my knowledge to know why He loves me, but I know He loves me. It passeth my knowledge to know when He started loving me, but I know He loves me. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that'll bombard the battlements of hell like preaching the love of Christ. And when I was a young preacher, I used to preach on hell a lot and the wrath of God. And I still do that. I still believe there's a hell. I believe that hell has fire. I believe that folks that die without Christ go to hell. I think if you die unconverted, you'll burn in hell forever and ever and ever.
And I want to say this morning, the light of all the press been going on. I want to say, I thank God I'm an old-time religionist. I thank God I'm a fundamental Baptist. I thank God for that. I thank God I believe every word in that book is the word of God. I believe in a heaven that has golden streets and a hell that has fire. And you got to get born again to go to heaven. If you don't get born again, you go to hell. I preach that. But praise God, the thing I preach the most and rather preach the most, God loves me.
He loves you this morning. I do not know the cause of his love, but I know he loves me. I do not know the beginning of his love, but I know he loves me. To know the love of Christ that passeth all knowledge. Thirdly, I do not know the unchangingness of his love. I can understand that. It never wanes or decreases because of my behavior. When I'm good, he loves me. When I'm bad, he loves me. If I ever am bad, he'll still love me. When I'm spiritual and want to read his book, he loves me. When I'm a little cold and would rather not read the Bible, he loves me. His love never changes. He doesn't love me a lot one day and a little bit the next day and love me the next day and not love me the next day. I can't comprehend that because I have a hard time loving people who, when they're not lovable. But his love never changes. The Bible says in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible says the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. I am to know a love that I cannot know. I cannot know when it started, but I know it did. I cannot know why he loves me, but I know he does. I cannot understand why he always loves me and never changes his love. But thank God I know he loves me. And that's why for 105 years plus on this corner, the old First Baptist Church of Hammond has held up the word of God and said, God loves you. God loves you. I know you say, Brother Howes, I'm an atheist. He loves you. I'm an agnostic. He loves you. I'm an alcoholic. He loves you. I'm a fallen woman. He loves you. I'm a prostitute. He loves you. Brother Howes, I don't go to church. He loves you. I'm profane. I profane his name. He loves you. I don't care who you are. Driving down the street highway in a truck and not living for God, maybe, and not thinking about God. He loves you. I said, he loves you, truck drivers. I said, he loves you, truck drivers. He loves you, mothers. He loves you, fathers. He loves you, teenagers. He loves you. I don't know why he loves you, but I know he loves you. I don't know when it began, but I know it did begin. I don't know why it's the same always, but it always is the same. And I don't know, I cannot know the greatness of his love. I cannot comprehend how much he loves me. You can climb from Bethlehem to Tabor, but you will not climb high enough to reach the love of God. You can climb from Tabor to Gethsemane, from his birth to his transfiguration to his praying in Gethsemane's garden, but you will not know how much arise to the heights of his love. You can climb from Bethlehem to Tabor, from Tabor to Gethsemane, from Gethsemane to Calvary. Measure the love of his birth, his incarnation. Add to that the love of his transfiguration. Add to that the love of his yielding to the will of God in Gethsemane. Add to that the love that caused him to go to Calvary. Add to that the love that caused him to suffer the pangs of hell in your place. Add to that the thing that caused him to become sin. He who knew no sin became sin. Add to that the pains and suffering of Calvary and all the agony of the cross. Add it all together. And you still have not risen to the heights of his love. And climb from Bethlehem, the love of Bethlehem, the love of Mount Tabor, to the love of Gethsemane, and climb to the love of Calvary. And you can climb from Mount Calvary to the love of the Mount of Olives. When he ascended to the Heavenly Father, lifted up his hands and ascended back to the right hand of the Father and took his place at the right hand of the Father as my intercessor, my mediator, my high priest. And you still have not risen to the heights of the love of God. You can climb from Bethlehem to Tabor, from Tabor to Gethsemane, from Gethsemane to Calvary to the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives to Zion, That day when he'll rule and reign from Mount Zion as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Jesus shall reign where the sun does his successive journeys run. And you still have not reached the height of the little God. You can climb from Bethlehem to Tabor, from Tabor to Gethsemane, from Gethsemane to Calvary, from Calvary to the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives to Mount Zion, and Mount Zion to heaven. And you'll still not understand the greatness of the love of God. Oh, what love. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. That's the greatest news I know. He loves you so much this morning. You come to this altar, kneel here, and confess any sin you've committed and ask God to forgive you. And before you get down here, he already had that sin already forgiven. He loves you so much, I don't care how deep. I can point to a man in this room who's taken his own hands and committed murder, but God loved him and saved him, and God still loves him. I can point to a lady in this room this morning who used to walk the streets of Calumet City as a prostitute, selling her body to the lustful hands of wicked men for a dollar or two, and peddling dope, and is wanted in several states for dope peddling right now, who came to First Baptist Church of Hammond several years ago and received Christ as Savior, and God loved her and God saved her, and now she's going out and telling about the love of God herself. Hey, tell the whole world that God loves them. Spread the joyful news. Tell from the tidings all around. He loves you. I said he loves you. I said he loves you. I don't understand it, but I know it. I'm to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Some things are beyond the reach of vocabulary, human vocabulary. When God talked about salvation, he said, I can't tell you how wonderful salvation is. He used that little word, that little superlative called so great salvation. How great is salvation? God said, there's no way you could understand it. Human vocabulary can't describe it. It's just so great. Could the words on the wall of that insane asylum that all of us have heard about so much, could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the sky of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. How does he love you? How much does he love you? I don't know. What's the greatness of his love? I don't know. Why does he love you? I don't know. When did he start loving you? I don't know. But I know one thing. He loves you. And how much? For God so loved the world. How much did God love the world? Don't know. He so loved the world. How great is salvation? Don't know. It's so great salvation. How great is heaven? Don't know. It's so great a cloud of witnesses. You said to your girlfriend before you got married, I love you so much. What'd that mean? That meant, I can't tell you how much I love you. Now she says, you love me. You tell her, I told you before we got married, didn't I? I'll love you. I've ever changed my mind, I'll tell you. How much do you love me? I so love you. You've heard me tell this often. When our kids were little, we used to hold hands like that. And I'd squeeze Cindy's hand, Becky, Linda. I'd squeeze their hands like this. That means, do you love me? And they'd squeeze my hand back. That's yes, I do. Used to do it in his house, too. I'd go, she'd go. Are you listening, aren't you? It's first inclination I've had. But I four times, do you love me? And Cindy would go, yes, I do. Then I'd go twice, how much? And they would go, some of you folks have heard this story. Back when I was a boy, teenager, boys and girls who were dating used to do it. I never did. I've often wondered, Brother Colston, how many demerits you and I would have gotten if we'd ever gone to Howells Anderson College. Did you ever hold her hand before? Anyway, I won't ask you if you won't ask me. But boys and girls, couples used to do that. Do you love me? Yes, I do. How much? when I went to high school, had a boyfriend named Bob Keyes. He's in heaven right now. Became my assistant pastor in years ago. He was in love with a girl named Sylvia Jensen. We were seniors. They were sitting one day, we were watching a movie in the auditorium of Adamson High School, 2,000 students. I was sitting right behind Bob and Sylvia, and they were holding hands. And they'd do that, you know. Bob would go, I'd watch him. Me. Yes, I do. How much? They'd go like that. A little while later, they quit holding hands for a while. It's dark in there. The movie was going on. I reached up between the two seats. I began to rub Bob's hand like that. And Bob rubbed my hand back like that. And I'd pat him on the hand like that. He thought I was Sylvia. I have soft hands. And he'd pat me on the hand like that. I took his hand and I went, do you love me? And he said, yes, I do. I said, how much? And then I went, ugh! I came as near death that morning as ever come in my life. I look up this morning and I say, dear God, and with his nail-pierced hands, he holds my hand, and he goes, and I say, and all he can do is go, he loves me. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I cannot know why he loves me, but I know that he loves me. I cannot know when he started loving me, but I know that he loves me. I cannot know why his love is unchanging, but I can know that it is unchanging. I do not understand nor can I comprehend the greatness of his love. But I know he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. I'm talking to some lady today whose husband has walked away and exchanged what he thought was love from you to another object. But there's one who loves you who will never change his love. I'm talking to a man today who thought she loved you, but she walked away, saying her love had grown cold and maybe even had died. I know somebody who loves you today whose love will never grow cold and whose love will never die. I cannot know why he loves me, but I know he does love me. I cannot know when he started loving me, but I know he started loving me. I cannot know why his love never changes, but I know his love never changes. I cannot know the greatness of his love, but I know he loves me. Lastly, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. I cannot know the end of his love. I do not know. How long will he love me? I can't tell you how long it's going to be. Until I sin? It's beyond that. Until death? It's beyond that. How long will he love me? The stars have ceased to twinkle, he'll still love me. How long will he love me? Till the sun is chilly cold, he'll still love me. How long will he love me? Till the moon is blushed in redness, he'll still love me. How long will he love me? Till the earth is ancient history, he'll still love me. How long will he love me? Till mortality is only a memory, he'll still love me. How long will he love me? When I disappoint him and fail him, he'll still love me. How long will he love me? When I doubt and falter, he'll still love me. I was telling the fellows this morning, I was writing down how long he'll love me. And yesterday I wrote down these words, and they're a little bit too fancy for me, but I wrote them down. When senility betroths invalidity. When senility betroths invalidity. And the fellow said, what does that mean? Now these guys can understand that kind of words. I said, that means when I've lost my mind and then I've lost my body, my health, he'll still love me. Brother Colston said, you're halfway there now. You see, folks, he does not love me because of what I am. He loves me because of what He is. He does not love me because of who I am. He loves me because of who He is. So I cannot understand all about the love of God. It passeth knowledge, but I do know. How long will He love me? When millennial glory is my portion. How long will He love me? When the New Jerusalem is my dwelling place. How long will He love me? When eternal becomes everlasting. He'll love me. Look at me carefully, and I'll close. You're looking today at a person who is the object of all the loves mankind can know put together. You take the love that you have for that little blonde wife you've got, that sweet young love of early years of marriage, and you add that love to the love that that woman and that man right there have for that little boy there, the love of a son, the love of a child born by your own love. You add that to the love this man right here has for that woman right there, the love of sharing life's victories and defeats and mountaintops and valleys for long many years. You add that to the love that this man right here has for that lady sitting in the second seat there in the choir after 30 years of living and loving together. And you add to that all the love that you have, Mrs. Hiles, that granddaughter you have back there. You add to that all the love that a brother has for a sister and a sister has for a brother. You add to that all the love that you have for your mother, and you add to that all the love that you have for your father, and you add to that all the love that you have for the best friend you have in the world, and you haven't even a tithe of the love that perfection has for imperfection, that deity has for dust, that omnipotence has for weakness, that omniscience has for ignorance, and that omnipresence has for locality. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. I don't know how much, but this I know. I don't know for how long, but this I know. I don't know why, but this I know. I don't know why it doesn't change, but this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I don't know why. I don't know how long. I don't know the end. I don't know the greatness, but I know that He does. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a love that never wanes, a love that never changes, and I imagine love that never really began, and a love that'll never end. I cannot know the knowledge. I have the knowledge of your love, but I can have the knowledge that you love.